Our dear brother and friend needs no introduction. He's preached here many, many times. Reverend Cranston. Thank you.
I'd like you to turn with me now, please, to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to thank Mr. Santos for leading the meeting for me this morning and for the words of welcome. As always, we bring you greetings from our congregation just up the Highway of Heroes there in Port Hope. And once again, thank you for your prayers and your support. Do please keep praying. We might see a move of the Spirit of God in our work there in the days to come. So we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to read a few verses from this second epistle of Paul to the Corinthian church in chapter 10. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. We'll end the reading at the verse 6. May the Lord bless this reading from his holy word, and may the Lord be pleased to speak to us and minister to us from this portion of scripture that we have just read. Before we consider the Lord's word this morning, let us unite our hearts in prayer with God's precious word. Now open before us, let us pray over the word. Let us seek the Lord. Most loving God and eternal and gracious Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence. And O Lord, thou hast exhorted us that when we come before thee in prayer, we are to hallow thy name. And, O Lord God, we endeavor to do that. For thou, Lord, art holy. And, O Lord, we know that thou art God alone. Thou art the one who inhabits eternity, before whose face the heavens and the earth flee away. And yet, Lord, thou art mindful of us. Thy Lord doth hear our prayers. And, O Lord, thou hast said, ask, and ye shall receive. And, O Lord, I'm asking now this morning that thou would grant us the help and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm asking, O Lord, that thy good hand will be upon this congregation. And those, Lord, who have recently gone through surgery, we pray, O Lord, for thy healing touch to be their portion. And the many others, Lord, who have been mentioned today, may they know the comforting ministry of Christ, even in their own homes. Now, Lord, I ask again for that help that comes alone from the third person of the Trinity. And pray, loving God, that thou will help us in the ministry of the word today. And Lord, in the preaching of the word, have us to preach Christ. Always to preach Christ. Make much of his finished work and his shed blood. And be, Lord, with Mr. and Mrs. Saunders on their vacation at this time. Bless us now, Lord. Shut us in with thyself. We pray in the Savior's name for his honor, his praise, and for his glory alone. Amen. Our text for this morning is found in the verse 1 of the portion we have read together there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And there in verse 1 we read, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent, am bold toward you." I want to take those words of Paul, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Of all of the congregations that Paul ministered to, perhaps the believers in Corinth, in the Corinth church there, were the least spiritual. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There in the opening 4 verses. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal?" The word carnal simply means fleshly. "Are ye not fleshly? And walk as men," that is, as the men of the world. In his first letter to the church, the apostle sought to correct the errors that were so prevalent in the church. In ministering to them, he had to point out their sin and the need to put matters right, not only with each other, but within the church congregation itself. And this they did. And by the grace of God were brought to the place where they repented and they mourned over their sin. We see there in 2 Corinthians 7, in verse 8, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season." Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Paul was sad. Sad that he had made the congregation and the believers there sorry. But at the same time, he was thankful. Thankful that they made sorrow after a godly sort. It was a godly sorrow that led to their repentance. And he wanted them to know that he had dealt with them in his first epistle as graciously as he could. And as he continues to minister to them now in his second epistle, he does so in the same gracious manner. For he says there in that opening verse of the chapter 10, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." He addressed them in Christ's name, yea, according to the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. What a lovely way for Paul to speak of the Lord Jesus. The meekness and the gentleness of Christ. The word meekness may be described as the capacity to accept injury without resentment, and praise without pride. Gentleness, this word means to deal with others with a sweet reasonableness. It is a word used to describe the clemency of a judge who is good and gentle and at the same time is just. Such meekness and such gentleness are to be seen in our lovely Lord and in our lovely Savior. Is it any wonder that he's described in the Song of Solomon 5:16, "Yea, he is altogether lovely." And here again, his loveliness is seen in his meekness and in his gentleness. And when we look at the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I think of Christ as being the perfect gentleman. That's my subject this morning. Christ, the perfect gentleman. I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Christ is the perfect gentleman. These words would speak to us, first of all, of the character of the perfect gentleman. When Paul spoke about the meekness and gentleness of Christ, he would have had the character of Christ in mind. Let us think with regard to his character. the holiness of Christ. The Lord Jesus, of course, being God manifest in flesh, is, of course, all holiness. He is without sin. He's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. Notice the order. Holy. Harmless. Undefiled. The word undefiled means immaculate. What a gentleman Christ is. He's the perfect gentleman. He's holy and he's harmless. He is meek and he's gentle. What a lovely Savior we have. And holiness will produce the spirit of meekness and the spirit of gentleness. Tell me, have you ever met a carnally minded, fleshly minded individual, man or woman, who's been meek and gentle in his or her life or his or her behavior? For you see, the spirit-filled man or woman will show forth the beauty of Christ. There's no getting around it. The spirit-filled man or woman will inevitably show forth the beauty of Christ in their life. One that is holy and strives after holiness, Christ will be seen in them. As Christians, surely we want the beauty of Christ to be seen in us. But are we holy? Are we spiritual? If so, then the likeness of the Savior will be seen in us. That meekness and gentleness will be seen in us. The Holy Spirit manifested himself, of course, in the life and the character of Christ to produce this meekness and gentleness. Indeed, the fruit of the Spirit was produced in the life of Christ. We are familiar with the fruit of the Spirit, but it does no harm to look at it again. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's not the fruits plural, fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You look at the fruit of the Spirit, and when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, and temperance. It's all seen in Christ. I remember preaching a series on the fruit of the Spirit as it is seen in Christ. And you look at it there in those verses 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. And all that you have there in the fruit of the Spirit is seen in Jesus Christ, including meekness and gentleness. Is the fruit of the Spirit produced in us? Is the fruit of the Spirit seen in our lives? Can it be said of us, there is a real gentleman. There is a real gentlewoman. For we see the meekness of gentleness of Christ in them. Oh, that the Lord would make us more like Him. More holy, more spiritual. That the meekness and gentleness of Christ will be seen in us. As well as the holiness of Christ, the words of Paul would speak to us of the heart of Christ. The Savior was pleased on one occasion. This was something He didn't do very often. He opened His heart to His hearers one day. And He said to them, "Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11:29. And there the Savior opens His heart. And you look into the heart of Christ and into the heart of deity, and what do you find? You find meekness. And you find lowliness. Now we know that what is in the heart will manifest itself outwardly in our life, in actions, in behavior, in conversation. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." Come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. It's what's in his heart. And the Savior has shown us what's in His heart. Meekness and lowliness. And it is seen in His life. For we see the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He's the perfect gentleman. Solomon says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's what he is. He can put on a show before others. But what he is in here, that's what he really is. And Christ was meek and lowly of heart. And it was seen in his life. For all who looked upon him saw the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Think of that in contrast to someone else. Over in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. There we read in verse 18, Simon, not Simon Peter, another Simon. He professed to be a believer. Professed to be a believer, and he was baptized. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. See? See? What was in his heart? That's how he behaved. And Peter says, thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Simon professed to be a believer. He made that known when he went through the waters of baptism. But Peter had to tell them, thine heart is not right in the sight of God. And Simon, you're in the gall of bitterness. You're a bitter man. No meekness or gentleness of Christ was to be seen there. He certainly was not a gentleman, but Christ is the perfect gentleman. As well as these words speaking to us of the holiness of Christ, in the heart of Christ, these words surely speak to us of the humbleness of Christ, the meekness and gentleness speaks to us of Christ's humility and his humbleness. It is a common assumption that when a man is meek, it is because he cannot help himself. It is assumed that meekness is a sign of weakness. Would we dare say that about Christ? That his meekness was a sign of his weakness? For when we look at Christ, we see that Christ had all the infinite resources of God at his command. He's all powerful. He is all powerful. He is almighty. Yet, he is meek and he is gentle. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. So often when people get into a position of power and authority, they are seldom seen as being meek and gentle. They usually like to show their authority and exercise their power. Yet no man had more power and had greater authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Paul said, and spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. It's humbling, isn't it? Consider the power of the Lord Jesus, as spoken of by John when he said, John 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's his power. Yes, he had power to speak the worlds and the planets and the stars into being. And yet at the same time, this Creator Christ was known for his meekness and his gentleness. He who had the power and the authority of a king, yea, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is still meek and gentle and lowly of heart. For what do we read about Christ? That time that he rode into Jerusalem on his way to the cross. He rode into Jerusalem on the back of a beast of burden. He who is king, he who is King of kings and Lord of lords, he who is King of glory. You would have thought he would have ridden into Jerusalem on a golden chariot drawn by a team of white stallions. But no. Matthew 21, verse 5, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee," listen, "meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." He who is king rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. No wonder Paul spoke about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Oh, to be more like him. I wish I was more like him. I wish I was less like myself. And be like the Savior, the perfect gentleman. We've considered the character of the perfect gentleman. That leads us surely to the conduct of the perfect gentleman. We've only to look at how the Savior conducted himself before men, and his gentleness and meekness was clearly seen. It was first of all seen in his walk before men. All men's eyes were on him. And what did they see? They saw the meekness, the gentleness of Christ. For at no time did the Savior lose his temper or say a word that he later regretted. He's the perfect gentleman. At no time did he do something that later he had to apologize for? Because he's the perfect gentleman. At no time did he do anything that was hurtful, hateful, or harmful to anyone. Because he's the perfect gentleman. That's the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. At no time did he behave slyly, spitefully, or say anything sarcastically. At no time did he seek to deceive or degrade or defraud anyone. You see, he is the perfect gentleman. That's his meekness and gentleness always shining through. He was not known as a brawler, but he was known for his meekness. He was not known for being aggressive. Instead, he was known for his gentleness. He was not quick-tempered, but he was meek. There was no hardness in his attitude to others. Instead, the dear Savior was always gentle. You see, in every way, as he lived before men, he was always the perfect gentleman. His greatest enemies, didn't matter where the Lord went, the old Pharisees were there, bunch of hypocrites. They watched his every move. We're told that when he went into the synagogue, the Pharisees were there sitting by. That's how they're described, sitting by. Weren't really interested in gaining any benefit from the Lord's ministry. They're only there to criticize him. But praise the Lord, they were wasting their time. Because every time they looked at him and examined him, what did they find? They found the perfect gentleman. They saw in the Savior his meekness and his gentleness. That was seen in his walk before men. It was also heard and seen in his words unto men. The dear Savior was meek and gentle with words as he spoke to others. Even when his enemies came and spoke to him with unkind and uncharitable words, even when they shamefully insulted him, still he was meek and gentle. I read over in Luke 11, in verse 14. Luke chapter 11, in verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake. And the people wondered, but some of them, there they are. Some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Can you imagine? Describing Christ as Beelzebub, the prince of devils. How did the Lord respond to that? Did he summons fire from heaven to consume his ungodly critics? No. He could have. He could have. But no, he didn't, because he's the perfect gentleman. He didn't call for fire to come down from heaven. Instead, you can read on through those words. What did he do? He gave them a soft answer. Solomon said this in Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What would we have done Had something like that been said to us? Well, what do we usually do? We try to think of a quick response. If they've insulted us, oh, we want a word to insult them. We want to get back at them. But that wasn't Christ's way. Because Christ is the perfect gentleman. Praise his name. You think again, we mentioned the meaning of meekness, the beginning of the message. Meekness, the capacity to accept injury without resentment, and praise without pride. And over in Luke chapter 11 again, we see the meekness of Christ coming through. For in Luke chapter 11 and verse 27, "And it came to pass, as he spake these words, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked." In other words, she was praising him. But he said, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." There's his meekness again. The capacity to accept injury without repentance and praise without pride. There are, of course, many examples of the meekness and gentleness of Christ in the words that he spoke to men and women. But for me, the greatest example of all is found over, first of all, in Mark's Gospel. In Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. Verse 45, "And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him," that's Judas Iscariot, Christ in the Gethsemane with the disciples, the old betrayer, sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He came into the garden and he goeth straightway to him and said, "Master, Master," and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. I'd like you to go back to Matthew 26. And I can never really read these words without a lump in my throat. There's Judas. He's just come into the garden. Cried, "Hail, Master!" And kissed him. And we read in Matthew 26, in verse 48, "Now he that betrayed him gave him them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come? He called him friend. The word friend there means companion or partner. And Judas comes in all his lying deceit with 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. And he goes up to the Savior and says, "Heal, Master." And then he kissed the dear Savior on the cheek, just as the Father fell upon the neck of the prodigal son and kissed him. It was a kiss of love and affection. And here Judas does the same thing. And all the while he sold Christ. And how did the Savior address him? Friend. How would we address someone who betrayed us? But you see, Christ is the perfect gentleman. And there in Gethsemane's garden, with a mob, with their sticks and staves and swords, and Judas Iscariot, the one of whom the Lord said it would have been better for that man if he had never been born, and had come to take the Savior. And there in the garden was once again seen the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. We've seen it in his walk before men, in his words unto men, and in his works for men. This meekness and gentleness of Christ was seen over and over again in the works that he did for men. Mark 1, verse 41. And he saw the poor leper. Poor leper, leper. In Bible times, if anyone saw a leper walk down the street, they either would have crossed over to the other side or gone home some other way. They never would have wanted to walk down the same street as a leper. Did the Savior do that? Not at all. He went and he touched the leper. The word touch may also be translated to embrace. He embraced the leper. That poor man with distorted body, who nobody would have want anything to do with. Christ, in the meekness and his gentleness, went and embraced that leper and healed him. Then that day, you recall, as he came leading a procession near the city of Nain. And coming out of the city was another procession. A widow woman was at the head of the procession, following behind a coffin or a bier. And we are told that when the Savior saw her, when he saw that weeping mother, We're told he was moved with compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not." The meekness and the gentleness of Christ. And we're all familiar with that day when the mothers brought their children unto him, that he would bless them. And there's the disciples. They rebuked the mothers. More or less telling the mothers, take your children away. The Lord would have no time for them. But doesn't that show you just how unlike the disciples were to the Lord? Because the Lord rebuked them and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. It's the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. He's the perfect gentleman. Was there ever a more gentle and meek physician than Christ? No. Could you ever find a more gentle and meek friend like Christ? No. Was there ever a more gentle and meek person than the Lord Jesus? No. Million times, no, there never has been and there never will be. Because he's the perfect gentleman. Finally, having considered the character of the perfect gentleman and the conduct of the perfect gentleman, we close with the consideration of the perfect gentleman. In appealing to the Corinthian believers, Paul spoke about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. That was the spirit in which he ministered to them. And would that not be what we want? Would we not want to live our days and live our life exhibiting the meekness and gentleness of Christ? A person who perhaps has a quick temper, a person who perhaps is always grumbling, a person who perhaps is always complaining, do well, surely, to consider the Spirit of Christ. The person who holds spite and finds it difficult to forgive, or who is not very caring about how others feel, but do well. To consider Christ, the perfect gentleman. Consider him, Paul says. Consider him who suffered such contradiction of sinners against himself. Word contradiction means to speak against. He suffered such contradiction of sinners. Sinners spoke against him. But still he maintained that meekness and gentleness of character and conversation and conduct. Would that not be, first of all, our desire? Would it not be our desire to show in our daily lives the meekness and the gentleness of Christ? If God has spoken to somebody's heart today, and I don't know your heart, obviously, but the Lord does. I don't know anything about your conduct, but the Lord does. And if the Lord has spoken to you in your heart and challenged you today, then why not pray, Lord, make me like Christ, more and more like Him. Give me that spirit of meekness and gentleness. Make me more like the perfect gentleman. The Lord said, Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, they're blessed, for they shall inherit the earth. And that's a blessedness we could all do in our lives. Paul tells us in Galatians 3:27, we are to put on Christ. Put on Christ. We're to wear the garments of meekness and gentleness. And these are garments we should never take off. Whether at home or in the house of God or in the office or place of employment. Meekness and gentleness, let us put on Christ, for when we put on Christ, we'll put on His meekness and gentleness. Same thing as in Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. And Paul said in Titus 3 and verse 2, speak evil of no man. Be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, but gentle, showing meekness unto all men. Lamb of God, I look to thee. Thou shalt my example be. Thou art gentle, meek, and mild. Thou wast once a little child. Fain I would be as thou art. Give me thine obedient heart. Thou art pitiful and kind. Let me have thy loving mind. There's the desire and then there's the display. That is, as believers, we ought to display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ when dealing with difficult and cantankerous, maybe, individuals. When we are mocked or laughed at and made fun of because we are Christians, then let us display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. When we feel we've been wronged, are treated unfairly, then let us display the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. As Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, There's the gentleness and the meekness again. Oh, to be more like him. Oh, to show more of Christ in us. Loving Jesus, gentle Lamb, in thy gracious hands I am. Make me Savior what thou art. Live thyself within my heart. Christ, the perfect gentleman. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. O Lord our God, we know often that thy word comes to us, encourages us, lifts our hearts, lifts our spirits. Sometimes thy word comes to us and corrects us. And Lord, we thank thee for that. And how, Lord, we need the correction that we might be more like Christ. And, O Lord, I pray earnestly that thy word will find a place in every heart today, in my own heart. Dear Lord, I want to be more like thee, and only thou can do that work. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. And even now, Lord, if thou hast exposed something, some sin in our hearts and in our lives, may it be confessed and put under the blood now. Bless our homes, bless our families, bless our church family. Be with this congregation. We thank thee for it. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit be our portion now. And until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.